Jones
and Mike, real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey playing, city living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say
about family,
women,
philosophy,
politics,
history,
people,
money,
pop culture,
kids,
fighting,
business,
life. Join the conversation.
312-957-7210.
Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, does America really suffer from a rape culture? And what is it about Soldier Field that brings out the worst in us?
This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike.
Jones, I'm going to miss this when the show ends. I swear to God, I am going to miss it.
Why are you already thinking about when the show ends?
Well, I don't know when it'll be. If it'll be in a week, it'll be in a month, a year, 30 years, 50 years. I'm going to be 110, don't you know? So it could be in 50 years. But when it ends, I'm going to be a little sad because this show forces me. I feel like we're standing on the bank of a river and we're watching the flow of life and we're trying to figure it out, but this show kind of forces us to kind of watch the logs in the river go by. In other words, like, there's a 24-hour news cycle. Most people are caught up in it, and we're caught up in it too, but this show kind of forces us to step out of it and kind of observe it in a way that normally you don't in America. You kind of get what I'm... Do you dig what I'm saying?
No, I do get what you're saying. I do get what you're saying. Definitely doing this show causes me to look at life in a different way and to really kind of... Because I know once a week I have to kind of articulate my thoughts and observations. Yeah. So I do think that's definitely a positive.
Yeah, it is. And obviously we're hoping that people who hear this will kind of get that same benefit. Like, you know, you see how for a week... It's about bathrooms. Who can use what bathroom in America? And everybody's choosing sides about bathroom gate. And then the next week, it's gorilla gate.
Harambe.
Harambe gate. And we try to pick out, like, you know, not just the topical, like, should they have killed the gorilla? We try to, you know, go like, I don't believe in evolution as the springboard, which is kind of weird, but that's what we do.
And that wasn't necessarily wholeheartedly what I felt. I just felt like, you know what, this is the week. Last week, if people want to go back,
yeah,
to WGM Plus, find out last week's show. I just felt it was
time.
No, to
hell with them.
Time.
Go to jonesandmike.com.
Oh, come on.
Plug your own stuff.
Anyway, I didn't even know why you had to.
You're such a company man.
Well, because we're part of Trunk. Okay, fine. Trunk.
I don't know how they even say their new company name.
I don't know.
They can't even name their own company, so plug our own assets.
Just let's move.
Continue.
No, let's just move on.
You were about to say, well, before that, we were talking about veganism.
No, I have lost my train of thought.
Oh, no. Okay, so it was bathroom gate, then it was gorilla gate, and this week it's rape gate. There's really not a... Well, there are people on opposing sides to a degree on the Stanford rapist issue.
Yeah, I haven't heard any. I mean, that would...
Well, there are people like me that are like, well, wait a second. Rape culture? We have a rape culture in America? That's what this is about? There's an institutionalized systemic rape culture? It's along the lines of people saying white privilege.
Well,
I believe there's an undercurrent and a feminist bent to this, which is male privilege is at fault here.
No, I would have to... I haven't heard the term rape culture thrown out in this instance a lot.
Hmm.
Maybe you have. But I do have to say, when I've heard that term thrown out previously and then dove a little bit deeper into the subject, I came away going, oh, wow, that really does seem rape culture-ish to me. And I have to say, you know, rape culture doesn't necessarily mean that it's the current culture and everybody is going out there and raping like wild. However, when you see the way that this is played out, whether you want to say rape this Brock Turner, this Stanford swimmer who was found raping a woman by two separate witnesses who were like passing by on mm-hmm. bikes and saw him and kind right. of brought an end to the whole thing. But, you know, it's one of those things where when you see he gets a 6-month sentence
yeah.
for what he did. Mm-hmm. And then you hear that this guy, the judge, had ties to Stanford University, was an athlete himself, just like this Brock Turner, this swimmer. There does seem to be, I get a sense as I study these situations now, there does seem to be a very lax attitude towards sexual aggression towards women. We tend to, even as a culture, forget that. And I think it's even men and women. The more that I've been thinking about this topic, everybody, this seems like a good guy versus bad guy, white hat versus black hat. And it's really easy to kind of pick this situation apart now. But even when I'm looking back and I'm thinking things about, you know, whether it's, you know, like a Mike Tyson, mm-hmm. We can put him in comedic movies now. He is a convicted rapist.
Yeah.
You know, he's a registered sex offender.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he could be on any talk show in the country.
Yeah, he was like the subject of like a cartoon.
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, really. And yeah, he had his own cartoon. Tyson did.
Yes, yeah. Tyson has a cartoon.
Dude, like of all the like the mediums that he shouldn't be part of.
Yes,
cartoon.
So it's funny. I think I would have to agree. There is a rape culture, and when we throw out that term, women kind of go, yes, there's a rape culture. And men are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I think it actually involves men and women. I think that women are a part of this too. I think that we have very short attention spans, short memories. You know, I did not see Ellen DeGeneres this week, but I can only imagine that she had a critical take on this Stanford, on what this young
Why,
man
was she
sentenced.
Raped?
No, but I would guess. I'd just put money out there. That she had a strong opinion on this, that this was a wrong thing.
So like feminists, and, you believe, and you're assuming that a lesbian probably a feminist.
Just a couple weeks ago, I saw Kobe Bryant on her show, and she couldn't have been more gracious on her show.
Yeah.
And she couldn't have been more gracious and laughing and joking with him. Uh-huh. And this was a guy who, yes, he served no jail time, but he did settle out of court and had to write a letter of apology to the woman that he engaged in sexual activity with. And if you went through the contents of the letter, pretty creepy and came off pretty rapey.
Jeez,
and we
really?
Seem to we forget that. That's gone by. No, in the letter, in Kobe Bryant's letter, and this isn't to completely deviate from this Brock Turner swimmer. In this letter, Kobe Bryant says, at the time I understood this to be a mutual, a sexual affair of proper adult consent, I now understand that my victim, or I now understand that the woman that was a part of this does not feel this way. And yeah.
So
I can
gonna
now
have to
understand.
To disagree.
And no, she even, in the letter, he even says, I can now see how she would have felt that way.
She's when I was holding her face into the bed.
Right. So,
man.
We've forgotten this. When he retired, there was this major tour and emotional tour of, you know, athletes and announcers who are talking about how wonderful this guy was.
Sickening.
He's doing Ellen DeGeneres, who by and large comes off as a strong feminist. But now because we've forgotten that. So it's when you look at this Stanford case, I'm now starting to see, I look at it and I immediately go, how can this happen? But then when I look at our larger, I'm willing to now see a rape culture taking place.
Yeah. See, now I'm going to disagree with you and I'm going to disagree with you viscerally, sir. I think it's about, who can give what value to what segment of the population at any given time. For example, if Kobe had been retired, I think the people would have felt differently. But because he was able to put in, like, you know, still put in, like, 60 points on his very last NBA game, like, he still served a purpose for a large segment of America. Mike Tyson, apparently, because of, like, you know, the hangover and stuff, still serves some purpose for Americans.
No,
so they were able to, like, kind of look past it.
No, he was able to serve a purpose for America and be in the hangover because we just forgot about it and didn't care.
I think if there's
he wasn't an active fighter when he was doing that. And this Brock Turner, I mean,
he doesn't serve any purpose for anyone.
No.
That's my point, is that,
and he got a light sentence.
Yeah. Well, so there's a hypocrisy and a, you know, dichotomy, a duality to Americans' brains that sickens you and sickens me.
Yes.
Then that's really the issue. And who's framing the issues for us? That's an issue, too. More on this next. Jones and Mike.
I've been very happy with the fish oil that I've received. I trust that it's PCB, mercury-free, it's clean, it's wild-caught, and it's the best stuff that I found.
Chris is just one of thousands of satisfied Pacific Rim customers around the world and here in Chicago. You need omega-3s daily, but most of us here in Chicago do not get nearly enough of them from our diet. Even worse, if you're like me, you eat too much beef, and that drives up your omega-6s. Those are the omegas that lead to inflammation in your joints and in your arteries. As I like to say, omega-3s counteract the beef sandwiches. They lower cholesterol, reduce inflammation, joint and back pain, boost brain function and eyesight, improve circulation and performance, open your lungs, and give you a healthier heart. Why are you not getting all of these benefits from Pacific Rim Omegas? Try Pacific Rim for free. Just pay the shipping. This is an exclusive offer just for listeners of this radio station. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com. And get your free trial of Pacific Rim. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike. Jones, I think this story of Brock Turner, the Stanford swimmer who got 6 months for rape, is interesting for a number of reasons, not the least of which is it comes right after Hillary Clinton has become the presumptive Democratic nominee for president of the United States of America. And her husband has been accused by many women of rape.
And I was actually thinking about that last night.
And there's another high-powered guy who's facing rape charges right now, and America has already convicted him, and it's Bill Cosby. Now, 50 women have come out. It took Hannibal Buress, another, you know, comedian, to, like, go, like, you know who's a rapist? Bill Cosby. And as soon as he did that, like a couple of women came forward and went, like, yeah, he raped me. And then a few more came forward. And now, like, 50 women, apparently, didn't feel that they could come forward and find Gloria Allred's number and accuse Bill Cosby of rape. So, like, there's this whole giant tapestry of backstories that this, for me, kind of gets juxtaposed against and with. Why is Cosby automatically guilty when Bill Clinton has been being accused of rape for 25 straight years, and the media just goes like, they're all lying kooks, all of these women. Another woman came out and said, yeah, I was banging Bill before he was even governor. Actually, I was banging him when we were teenagers. It was like his childhood sweetheart. And, like, has all these revelations about what a sex fiend he is. How he's been with, like, 2,000 women. Forget the rape allegations. He's clearly a philanderer. And he's about to be, you know, first lady. That's a big issue, I think. That's a big issue. So if you're going to say that America has a rape culture, let's start with the philanderer in chief.
Yeah, no, you can. Yes, you can use that as an example. And where I'm coming off and going, yes, I am now starting to see when people put out that term rape culture, we as a society, and again, Bill Clinton would not have become president of the United States without female support as well.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is culturally, we allow ourselves to go to a place or go to a level where we're okay with that. We're not going to hold a line where, as a society, we go, okay, that is completely disgusting. As a society, we reject that. There are ramifications for that. You will be shunned. That doesn't exist. I'm starting to see that. Whether you're a Kobe Bryant, whether you're a Bill Clinton, even this Brock Turner. Now, okay, let's take Brock Turner out of it. Really, to me, the issue isn't necessarily Brock Turner. He raped a woman. He got caught raping a woman. The issue is really about the judge, Aaron Persky, that he felt there had to be some part of him that knew 6 months is pretty light, but I'm okay with this, or I and my career will be okay with this.
Yeah.
And there's something about our society, I'm saying, that allows him to think that way. For example, there's no way that I could go out into a public square or even to a private, like you're having a backyard barbecue.
A public square. What year is this, Jones?
Well, I do live right by what was known as the old Bughouse Square, which is
right, like in the 19th century.
I know, but that's part of, you know, that's part of my DNA of living in the city.
Like, where was the Chicago Fire? Sidebar. Where was the Chicago Fire in relation to where you live? Any idea?
Where it started?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't really know.
Interesting.
I don't know. I would think, I would have even thought.
Like, you're right in the middle of it.
I am.
Like, ye old, like, 1831 Chicago, it was all right there where you are.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is true.
You're the best.
I am the best.
So continue.
But, for example, there's a public understanding. If I was at a backyard barbecue and I saw your 13-year-old daughter and her friends and they're jumping up and down the trampoline, uh-huh, and I was with you and all the other parents and all your other friends who are around that mid to late 30s, mid 40s age. And I was like, mm-hmm, you know, sometimes 13-year-old girls just look so adorable in two-piece swimsuits.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have gotten away with that.
Yeah.
And I would also know I can't get away with that. That's socially, that we have collectively understand that to be unacceptable behavior. But there's something about when you get to adult sexual aggression, I don't know what it is, but we do seem to have, open mind is what's coming to my mind, but that's not the word for it. We have a selective filter on what is unacceptable, or we're very quick to cleanse the palate.
Yeah, and I just feel like it depends on their value to Americans or to people in general, and it also depends who's framing the story. For example, you know, they're still trying to extradite Roman Polanski, who,
right,
you know, who did like the Mark Shimura thing, right? Was that his name?
Mark
the tight
Shimura,
end?
Yes.
Shimura?
Yes.
The tight end from the Packers? They did like the exact same thing. For whatever reason, Shimura kind of shunned. Roman Polanski, still making work that people dig, not shunned. Did like the hot tub with a 13-year-old girl, like gave her, like he drugged her and molested her in like 1978 or something, and then fled to like France and kept on making movies, even got like an absentia, like an Oscar.
Yes.
Not, you know, like 10, 12, 15 years ago. Yeah. People still want to be in his movies, right? But like, they're still fighting. I think he's in Poland now, and they're still fighting with Poland or something like that. Woody Allen marries his mother-grabbing daughter, his adopted daughter, Sun Yi, right?
Yes.
I always like to challenge myself, will I have instant recall on these things? And like, Americans just went, eh. And so now, Mia Farrow's daughter.
It became a punchline, actually.
Yeah.
It was entertaining for us.
Oh.
It did, though.
That's sickening.
It did. It was a part of, there wasn't anything where we went, oh my God, that is so disgusting. That guy knew that young girl when she was like 12 or 13 years old, jumping around the house.
Yeah.
And now he's married to her.
It was one thing to admire her in her swimsuit, but this is going over the line.
What was the talk of the time was it was a joke on late night television.
That's right.
It's a joke on, there would be jokes about it on The Simpsons. And it's one thing to joke about. I'm not saying like every single instance whenever we're talking about something serious, we must also be speaking in serious, measured tones.
Yeah.
But there does seem to be, people still would look to work with Woody Allen.
Oh,
people
clamoring
still
to work with him. They call
Roman
him a genius.
Polanski.
Yeah. And now Dylan Farrow is coming out and saying, yeah, he molested me.
Yes.
When my mom and him were married.
Yes.
And her brother has been very vocal about it. And Mia Farrow is like, yes, yes. And so now it seems to be accepted that he was a child molester. But yet his career continues onward. And so I think it's more about who's framing the story. The media is not going after Woody Allen. The media does not go after Bill Clinton. The media, you know, they say certain people need to be, you know, persecuted and prosecuted, and other people don't need to be persecuted and prosecuted. For whatever reason, they're going after Cosby. I don't understand why, but maybe Eddie Griffith saying that every black man has to have an asterisk is right.
Well,
because that's another dynamic to this case. Now there's a meme out there with a guy, a black guy, who got 25 to 30 years for doing the exact same thing that Brock Turner did, and he got 6 months for. So now there's a black and white sentencing issue and things
like
that.
In general, we have a sentencing issue. I mean, don't we still have in this country an NBA referee who is fixing games? Isn't he still in prison, Tim Donaghy? And that was like years ago.
Oh, is he really?
I think he's still in prison. He did years for fixing NBA basketball games, a white referee. And I'm not trying to make this a black or white issue or not say it's a black or white issue. But there's a sentencing issue in this country for sure. That's, you know, here's the other, maybe that's a part of it as well. When you're, there isn't even a baseline for understanding of the consequences of doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Where, okay, I got the urge to do this thing, but I know, and everybody knows, because it's just common knowledge, if I go out and do this thing,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be sitting in a jail cell for 7 years. I'm going to go get a burrito and not do this thing.
Jeez. Yeah, but I mean, like, rape is like such a psychologically barbaric, I think you're a psychotic when you do something like that.
True.
I don't think there's any deterrent for rapists.
To call it a sex crime,
it's like, no, it's like a violent act of superiority.
Yes. No. I agree.
Yeah. It's like the ultimate violation. To me, it's worse than murder. Murder, I can absolutely understand. I totally can.
No, and I've had women say that to me. I'd rather be murdered than raped.
Well, and so I have stopped myself from wanting to commit murder. Have you ever felt a murderous urge?
Murderous urge? I felt a rage where I would have done something really stupid, but not murderous.
Yeah, I'm not talking about like premeditated murder one, right? I'm talking about like I have absolutely been on the cusp of manslaughter.
Yeah.
Second degree aggravated.
Yeah. I definitely.
So when someone,
I can think of instances.
Yeah, when somebody like whips out a baseball bat and like, you know, ends up doing like 10 years, I'm like, yeah, that could be any one of us.
That sort of thing.
A rapist, definitely. A molester, like them, I think that they're human, they're like defects.
Yes.
And they came from like they came off the assembly line with a defect, and honestly, I just think they have to be put down. They have to be put down. I think that there's no rehabilitation for someone like that. So, you know, forget the sentencing guidelines. I think these people just have to be murdered. And maybe we need to come up with the judges aren't going to take care of them. I think what we have to do then is we need to, like, come up with, like, a black market where there's, like, a fixer. And the fixer has people on the inside who are, like, doing, like, 13 life terms. So those guys are going to get like extra cigarettes in the commissary if they dust off these sexual, you know, predators for society. Because we can't leave it up to the judiciary.
No,
apparently.
And actually, if you're a woman in this society, I would think it has to be, when you see this stuff go down, it has to be very frightening because the judicial system is not really on. It's hit or miss. Maybe they're on your side, maybe they're not. And then when you start throwing around a term like rape culture and examining and seeing how people respond mm-hmm. to cases where, and we're not talking about 10 months ago, we were talking about Patrick Kane.
And
now, as it turns out, that case fell apart.
But he still has never been exonerated.
Well, but
nobody's ever really been like, yeah, we're really sorry we did this to you.
You're absolutely right. But the funny thing is, I'm not talking about a situation like that. There are numerous examples where I can point to, like I've just been mentioning, mm-hmm. about where we forget about a Kobe Bryant or a Mike Tyson. And, you know, if you're a woman, you have to look and go, wow, like, okay, not only is the sentencing hit or miss, but even just public opinion is hit or miss, or that we eventually, as a society, are able to shift and compartmentalize what happened and now make this person socially acceptable again.
Yeah.
That's where I'm coming off with a rape culture.
So the three takeaways that I have for this are as follows. Like, I think social media is a pretty dangerous thing. It's clear that it shapes you, but there's not enough context or space, and people aren't really good enough communicators to be able to articulate a position beyond like a few words and an emoji and a meme. So you end up getting bombarded with this. There's a rape culture. There's white privilege. There's male privilege. And this perpetuation of this, it's like there's a 24-hour news cycle, but it's really a 168-hour news cycle, as this show proves. It's a week of a bathroom. It's a week of a gorilla. It's a week of rape culture. And on and on and on. So, like, I believe social media, super, super bad. Like TV news channels like MSNBC and Fox, super bad, because they're just constantly bombarding you with bad news. So takeaway number two I have is, hey, just like we need to talk to our sons and be like, hey, if you're a predator, I'm going to need you to like get like some help, psychological help right away. Because it's not like, I just see some vagina there. I'm going to go have 20 minutes of action, as his father said in his open letter.
It's funny. No, but here's the funny. Yeah, 20 minutes. Isn't that unbelievable? Like, as you're writing it down as the dad, doesn't that hit you? And you go, okay, wait a minute. I should think this.
Who's ever had 20 minutes of action?
You know, but it's... But I will say, you hit on something that I've said before in the past, and people look at me really funny when I say it. But I think, in terms of trying to deal with this, mm-hmm. I think men and women, we all need to speak out. And whenever we hear something that comes off rape culturist, we obviously need to start talking about it or call it out or put mm-hmm. it down. But what you just hit on, if people have those urges, like, what is the... I've said this before and people look at me funny, but like, what would you do? Like, we have to create some kind of environment where if you have these kind of urges, and I know the whole thing is don't show any sympathy towards these people, but before something happens, is there not something that we can put our heads together
and come up with like a safe space for sexual...
Yes, exactly.
Psychotics.
I have always thought of that. The first moment that, you know, you're walking down the street, you're a young guy, you see a girl and you're like, oh my God, she's beautiful. And it hits you like, oh my God, I'm totally into chicks. Think about the first moment that you're walking down the street and you're going, I'm 23 years old and I can't stop looking at that 8-year-old girl. Like, I've thought about that.
Yeah.
What happens? What is that first moment like? And if you have that thought, you have nowhere to go.
Right. All right. Interesting. Maybe that'll be the first charitable extension of Jones and Mike.
Yes.
We come up with the Jones and Mike Sexual Predator Rehab Center in Lamont.
Well, you know what, though? When you put it like that, that's actually not bad. I thought you were talking about like a fundraiser.
Nobody's
going to
want to work at that, though. That's the thing.
No. Oh, yeah.
It's going to be very hard to staff.
No, there would be a bunch of people that would want to staff and be beating those people down.
No.
It needs staff and it needs oversight of that staff.
President Trump, before you build a wall, we are going to need some staffers for the Jones and Mike Sexual Predator Rehab Center in Lamont, Illinois.
Yes.
Just as we need to work with our sons, like, I took away, like, okay, I got to work with my daughters. If you're getting so mother-grabbing ass-faced at a party that you may pass out behind... You know, in the alley behind the dumpster at it, that's a problem. And you can't even say that, because then people are like, you're blaming the victim. And it's like, yeah, I kind of am. You got so, you know, crap-faced that you passed out behind a dumpster and some passerby was like, oh, cool. You're so crap-faced, I'm gonna molest you. And you won't even wake up during it.
Well, and here's where I say that you can actually get away with what you've just been saying.
Because I hope so.
You have continually said men are predators and men are creeps.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's just facing a reality where you're pulling your daughters aside and going, look, maybe Dom can come home stumbling drunk, mm-hmm. but you can't, because men are predators and men are creeps.
Yeah,
and I'm saying that because I love you.
Men are totally
predators and men are...
And
creeps.
I drill it into their heads all the time. I'm like, look, men are necessary and you will find a nice man, but you're going to meet 1,000 a-holes first. Maybe a million. So
a million, that's a lot.
There's a lot of a-holes out there.
What do you think would be harder to get built in Lamont, Illinois?
Yes. A mosque?
Yes.
Or the
Yes. That was my exact as soon as you brought that up, like, could you imagine trying to get the funding for that? And I thought, what would be, and not even necessarily Lamont, like, but like a mosque in Palos or a sexual rehabilitation center in Palos. What would be tougher?
That's interesting. Maybe we should like dovetail the two projects and see which one, you know, maybe they could be connected. The mosque and the rehab center are the two, you know, the two sides of the same coin that nobody wants in their pocket.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that I would be interested to see which one gets built first.
All right, my third takeaway is this. Rather than see an issue like this and go like, oh, glass half empty always, there's a rape culture in America. And that's not, it's being pushed out there by the media and by social media and these tech companies that shape our worldview. And they're doing it as part and parcel of a white privilege push, a Black Lives Matter is part of that. Like, what are the prominent news stories over the last year or two? It's that white people have it all and minorities have nothing. Trump is a racist when he wants to put up a wall to keep all people out of a country they shouldn't be in. It's against the law. But no, you're a racist. Whatever. Rather than see everything as a divisive issue and proof that this country sucks, I would like to rather see it as, well, why aren't we saying that there's a hero culture? That America is such a great place that it inspires action even amongst our visitors. The two people that broke up this crime in progress were two Swedish nationals, grad students at Stanford, riding down the alley who saw what was happening and took action. Chased him away, maybe saved her life. Who knows? Maybe this guy would have killed her at the end of it.
Yeah, you don't know.
And so, like, great things happen here, but we don't see the greatness. We see the bad, horrible side.
Yeah, it's just...
Because that's not, that doesn't sell. When it bleeds, it leads.
Yes, there is that issue of it bleeds, it leads. But at the same time, to watch the judicial, our judicial system completely fail this woman is going to supersede any hero heroic activity.
How does
two Swedish
how does him doing 9 years make this woman's life better?
I
don't know how that woman was failed. I think society was failed because a dangerous person is going to be out in 3 months.
Well, yes, but at the same time, I think a six month sentence with likelihood of it ending after 90 days, it says to this woman, what happened to you doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I don't think she feels that way. She sees, she's got to see, well, of course we can't, but I'm going to have to conjecture something. She's got to see that America's outraged or a lot of Americans are outraged. That has to make her feel better.
Yes, that may help, but just to see that, you know, a system that, you know, I would presume believe in before you have to participate in it, mm-hmm. and to watch it fail you has to be gut-wrenching.
Well, one thing that we're both in agreement on is the violence of Chicago comes to you. And this is why I just stay in my house 40 miles west of Chicago. But you continually go right into the hottest spots in town.
One of us has to.
Why, Jones?
Just one of us has to, or else we have nothing to talk about.
You were at a hotbed for violence, and we're going to hear about it next. Jones and Mike. Glad you survived.
Have you ever listened to a radio show and thought, I could do better than that? Who hasn't? But have you ever thought about actually doing your own show? Now that seems a little more daunting for most people. Hosting your own show helps spread the word about you and your expertise, your business, product or service, charity, or any organization at all. When you have your own show, people listen to you, get the credibility, authority, and visibility you deserve. Chicago Pod Show has the studios, equipment, people, and experience to help you launch your own show almost instantly. Host a show that's heard 24/7 on iTunes, YouTube, mobile apps, websites, or even on the radio. Chicago Pod Show does it all for you. All you have to do is be the star or the expert you already are. Find out how easy getting your own soapbox can be. Visit ChicagoPodShow.com or call 312-725-8017. ChicagoPodShow.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide
at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
It's Jones and Mike. One of the, I wouldn't say it's a violent place, but there's definitely a crackle in the air whenever we're at Soldier Field. There's just something about, and it's usually for a Bears game, but it's almost any event there. And maybe it's because it's named for soldiers. Maybe there's like a general, like, combative environment. Just the minute you know, you see on your ticket stub that you're going to Soldier Field. Maybe you get in the wrong mindset.
I don't know. You wouldn't think that would be the case because it's a war memorial. Those tend to be more solemn places. But I have to say, you know, when I go to an event at Soldier, and last night I was there for the Copa America game, Argentina taking on Panama.
Wow.
And I've been there for all sorts of events, whether it's concerts, whether it's soccer games, whether it's football games, and, you know, I always kind of go back when I walk in there and I think about the herd mentality and kind of the drunkenness of Bears fans. And
yeah.
You and I have talked on this show and in private about all of the craziness, whether it's fighting, old people fighting, young people fighting, men fighting, women fighting,
vomiting in the stands,
everywhere, people clipping toenails, people
picking their nose,
just in
for like an entire quarter,
just bizarre, stupid, oblivious behavior.
Yeah.
And I have to say, when I go to any other venue, whether it's Wrigley, whether it's US Cellular, whether it's the United Center,
Aragon,
you will see moments where someone behaves that way, but they're removed almost immediately.
Yeah.
You have your story, but then they're gone. There's just something about when I go to Soldier Field, I just see this prolonged stupidity, and just even beyond stupidity, just ignorance. There's something about that place where it consistently happens.
Yeah.
And last night, I found myself, I'm in line now, you know, the line to get into Soldier Field is forever.
Yeah, now, oh, everyone's got to get wanded.
Yeah, so everyone is getting wanded. And it started off very slowly. And what I'm talking about is the ignorance.
It does tend to build.
It does build. As we're getting in line, now there were no major Donnybrooks last night. So I want to just make that clear before I get into these stories. But these are examples of just an obliviousness at this venue that I don't see at others. As I'm in line going into the event, we're waiting to be wanded. And there's a guy who has like a family, like a small family. And the wife or the girlfriend or whoever this woman is with him. They're in line in front of me. The woman's got a child in the arms, and there's another child in front of the guy and another child to the side of him. So as they're walking forward, the kid is about four or five. His mind starts to wander, as most 4 or 5 year olds do. And the family just continue to move through the line, and they can see their boy just languishing in the line. But this guy's like on a phone call to someone.
Jeez.
And he just, and like the line is like stopping. There's like this sea of humanity that is like giving this guy a moment and some space, like, come grab your kid. And I just start saying politely, but it's like, hey, sir, you know, just like trying to like snap him off his phone call. So he realizes like you're leaving your kid behind,
right?
And you're holding up everybody else behind because they don't want this kid to get taken up in this sea of humanity.
Yeah. That's actually refreshing.
So, yes, that part was refreshing, but still the obliviousness of this guy.
Yeah.
Okay, and fine. Someone could just say, well, that's just one incident. He was on the phone. He finally, this kid, actually what it was the kid kind of rocked back and bumped into me and snapped out of it and saw his father ahead of him.
Good.
And then ran forward. The line moves forward. We're waiting to get wanded. This guy is on the phone. I wanted to punch him in the face.
See, violent.
He is on the phone. And the women that they had, like, two of the Monterey security people. Mm. One was holding him back because they when the woman was being wanded. Once she was wanded, then they go to move him forward. He's on his phone.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And they're saying, sir, do you have everything out of your pockets? And he's still on the phone. They go to wand him, and then he goes into one pocket. Then he pulls something out. He had cargo shorts on. He went through one by one after being wanded of pulling out the stuff that was in his pockets.
Yeah.
And we're all sitting there waiting. And I wanted them to so bad to either strike him in the face or to say, you know what? Get back to the end of the line.
Yeah, start
when you
over
have your
again,
pockets are empty.
Yeah.
But he is just like zero F's on the phone talking to his buddy. Oh, here, I'll empty this pocket. Oh, you need me to empty more pockets? Okay. Still talking on the phone.
Oh, my God.
Everyone's going to wait. Like, that's what I'm talking about. That anger that just builds and builds and builds. And you're like, you have people around you. We all want to get into this venue to see this little midget play soccer.
Yeah.
We're here for one man. That's it.
And that man is...
Well, Lionel Messi.
Fine.
So, but it's aggravating. I get inside the venue. Right?
I would have said Neymar.
He's Brazilian. But anyway.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So anyway.
Who's the Scotty Pippen to Messi on Argentina?
Sergio Aguero.
Oh, that's who I was going to say.
Angel Di Maria.
Oh,
Marcos
him.
Rojo.
Oh, I do
they
like
have a good
Rojo.
Team.
I call him the Red.
Yeah, you do.
All right.
Yeah, you do. Who does he play for in Europe?
Oh.
There's always even kind of a clue there almost in your name.
Oh, well, you know, in my name. Oh, well, I believe he plays for Man United.
Okay, very good. Very good.
Thank you for that clue part.
Yes.
That's pretty good, though.
Anyway, I go inside. Now, I didn't go primetime tickets on Soldier. I actually now have started to realize sitting around at that venue, it's a little bit better to sit higher up. So I was sitting in kind of the area where we normally go to see
the your
games
ticket was still probably like $90.
Not quite, but it was up there.
Yeah.
And it was, so I sat in section 429. So I'm up there.
Yeah.
I get into my seat. Everybody's kind of coming in late. That's a little bit frustrating, but whatever. You have to buy. It was more of a family vibe. So yeah, I know the situation.
Well, and it's a Friday. Traffic sucks.
Yes.
Getting in takes 40 minutes.
Yes. And you have
people
to get your
drinks
and your popcorn and all that stuff.
You have to unload your cargo shorts.
Yes. So
find
I'm
your
in
kids.
My seat.
Yeah.
And I see these people coming up the stairs. Now, up the steps. Now, it was, as they get right by me, they're in my aisle. I can tell they're French because as the guy's coming up, he has some kind of European soccer-ish thing on, and it says FFF.
And a beret.
And I'm like, okay, French Football
and he's smoking.
Federation. And I can hear him speaking, and it's like that bon vivant. And I'm like, okay, they're French. They're in my aisle, and the guy starts to and the game's already on.
And it's the same family that was in front?
No.
It's
this
a,
is
different
a different family.
Okay, thank God.
So this family starts to shuffle down the aisle. The guy goes down the aisle, and there's a woman about his age that goes down the aisle. And then I see behind them, there's this hunched over, exhausted looking woman. She's with them as well, because she's like calling out to them in French.
Oh.
But the way she's moving, I was like, she has cerebral palsy.
Jeez.
And I just was in shock. I was like, you either splash cash and you get the seats that are appropriate for her, or you don't go to a game. Like, you're bringing her up to sit. She didn't have any.
Yeah. It's like you need a Sherpa to get to the upper reaches of that stadium.
And she didn't have any braces or anything like that. I see her going up the steps. The whole, like, she's putting her whole body in just to get up these steps.
Oh my God.
And this is section 429. It was agonizing to watch. And they are so anxious to get to their seats.
Yeah.
That they just leave her in the dust.
Oh, my God.
And she's, like, calling out to them, and I can tell she has some cerebral palsy or something like that. There's that long, extended delay in the way that someone has cerebral palsy that they speak, and I can hear her calling out to them. Again, zero Fs. They motor right past everyone and go to their seats. She's trying to get to the seat, right? And she's falling over.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm like putting my hand up because I don't want to take away that person's dignity by like holding them to their place. But then I don't know, should I help her?
Yeah, if
should
she falls and cracks her head.
Shouldn't I do? It was so uncomfortable. So I start finding myself again going, hey, guys,
Yeah, a little help here with grandma.
I'm not going to sit there and be like, I told him off in front of everybody. I'm just simply trying to get their attention. Like, there's this person that you brought with you that has cerebral palsy. And they're struggling.
Yeah.
You need to come back there and help. First of all, you shouldn't have got her tickets in 429.
Yeah.
But you did, and you got her up here. Can you help
What's done is done.
To her seat.
Yeah.
So everybody else, like, had to help shuffle this woman down the aisle.
Oh, my God. To the inhumanity.
Yes. I don't, and the point is, it's Soldier Field. I don't see this happen at US Cellular. I don't see this happen at Wrigley. I don't see this happen at the United Center. There's something about this place.
So no violence. You just saw man's inhumanity to man.
No. Now at the end of the game, I thought. We didn't get to violence, but it was right there.
Oh.
There was this family, and I don't know what happened. Like, maybe the little boy had to run down and get a Coke or go to the bathroom. I don't know why he would have even left by himself. But with about 30-plus minutes left in the game,
mm-hmm.
this little boy starts sitting next to his family in the aisle. In the steps.
Yeah.
Like, and taking up legs spread out.
Jeez.
Just sitting there as though that was a seat.
Yeah, it's super dangerous.
Yes. Now, he's a kid. He's not thinking it through. I'm not blaming the boy, but that the family could just sit there and watch this kid for 30 to 35 minutes, and people are coming down the steps, and then, you know, they always have the gaps in the railing so you can kind of shoot to the other side.
Yeah.
They'd shoot to the other side and walk down it. But then as once you kind of got into stoppage time and people knew, okay, there's no more goals, you start to see people walking down. He just stays there, and, like, no correction from any of the family that was with him that was like,
oh, my God.
Whoa, whoa, Felipe, into the aisle. Where are you sitting? Get over here. Sit in your seat or sit on our lap.
Okay, so that's important for me to know then. And, I mean, I don't, you know, mean to paint you into a racist-y corner here, but do all of these people share any common bonds?
Zero.
Zero. Ethnicity, no. Bonds. Well, French, obviously.
The French people were white.
Okay.
I don't know.
Felipe was a tell. You're saying that they were there to see.
Yeah, no, it was a Hispanic. The family that allowed their boy to sit in on the steps, that was a Hispanic family.
Okay.
The French family was white.
Okay.
I don't know what the family was that was in front of me.
They sounded white out front. That sounds like something a douchey white guy would do. Be on the phone when there's you should be manning up.
But they were tan. They could have been Italian. They had on Argentina jerseys, but I don't know that wasn't
fine.
Just
we're going Argentinian.
Maybe they were, but I don't know.
Argentines.
So an Argentine family. I don't know. It was an Argentine family, a French family, and I don't know. I'm guessing a Mexican family.
Okay. And so there's no thread through ethnicity.
No, because we've been to Bears games and we've seen white people do the dumbest
stuff. I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, white people plus Bears games equals, you know, douchery. Douchery.
There's something.
And every time I see something bad happening there, it's a white guy.
There's something about that field.
But you've been to fire games. You saw chaos break out
mass
there once,
chaos.
You said.
Mass chaos.
And it was like a Hispanic thing.
Who was it? It was the Chicago Fire were playing, I think, Necaxa. That's who it was. And it was just bedlam.
A Mexican club team.
And there was bedlam. And I remember, I thought I watched a man die right in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
There was this fight that was on one of the lower levels across from the stadium. So I could see the whole thing. And this one Mexican dude shoved this Monterey security guy over the railing. And he fell 15 feet on his back.
Oh, my God.
Onto the pavement below. And the dude had to be tough as nails. He sprang to his feet. He ran up the steps and got the guy. But, I literally yelled out when I saw it happen. I thought I watched a man fall to his death.
You were like Ned Flanders. You were like,
I thought I saw a man fall to his death.
Didn't you see, weren't you like in the tunnel there and like somebody like jumped down
then
like scattered away like a cockroach?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was crazy. In fact, actually, and it happened again last night. Someone ran on. So at the end of the game, I do have to say, Messi scored a hat trick. It was this meaningful international tournament. So it was real cool. I'm happy I went to see it. But at the end of the game, some guy in a Barcelona jersey jumped onto the field and ran at Messi and almost got to him.
Oh.
And security got him and tackled him. And Messi jogged over and still went and greeted the guy. And was like, you could tell he was like talking to him very nicely. And then when they got the guy onto his feet and security was trying to take Messi away, as they got the guy who ran onto the field, got him onto his feet and started dragging him away, Messi's giving him the thumbs up, Stein, still nodding at him, still talking to him.
I'm not going to bail you out, but nice to meet
you. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, so it was, but that's always happening at Soldier.
Yeah, there's something about the Monterey security people. Like, they're kind of like, they're like gangbangers by day during the week, and then they become security people as soon as they get that red kind of parka over them.
Although I will say, I always notice that, I always get that feeling at Bears games. The security last night did feel like they were on it and they were professional. But at the same point, like, to a degree, a really professional security guard would have told the guy who was on his phone holding up an entire line refusing to comply, get to the end of the line until you have everything out of your pockets.
That's right.
But at the same point, I know what you're talking about when you are being corrected by Monterey security at a Bears game and you're like, am I dealing with a cop or a criminal?
Yeah, yeah. So last night I'm watching the Cubs game and a guy, like some like hillbilly, drunken hillbilly, tried to reach out for a foul ball and ended up falling onto the field. And this security guard came over and, like, pinned him down.
Really? I hate when they do
Super aggressive.
Just let him get back
And that's your initial reaction. But on the other hand, it's like, well, wait a second. No, no, no. That's the way you have to play it. If you end up on the field of play, you should absolutely get that. Now, they let him stay, but, like, the you know, they kept, you know, whoever the new Arnie Harris is in the truck... does not show enough tang, if you ask me. But they kept on going back, and Len would be like, oh, he's pleading his case. And like they kind of weaved that in to the storyline of the inning, which was good since the Cubs were losing and did lose. Especially to the Braves. Terrible. They can't even win at home, and they lost to the Braves. But at any rate, it went on for maybe the rest of the half of the rest of the inning. The guy eventually was able to stay, but initially you did feel like overreaction. But no, if you give these cockroach human beings an inch, they will absolutely take a mile. And before you know it, you'll have a William Legui thing where he's running across the diamond to take on an ump. So you have to give, I think, a very muscular approach to the humanoids.
Well, I would think a muscular approach comes much before that. I don't know. I see people, if they lose their balance and they kind of fall forward.
Yeah.
I'm all right with that. But there's absolutely no muscular approach. Even when there were like soda vendors and stuff, like going up and down the aisles or selling hot dogs, like they're having to walk around this kid.
Oh, jeez.
To me, there was just like, is there not like, can't he go downstairs and be like, hey, Bob, can you do, there's a kid just sitting in the aisle. Can you walk up there and deal with that? Like, but that never seems to be the case at Soldier.
And nobody said anything. It does take a village, I heard a woman once say. Nobody said anything to this family? I would have said something.
No, but look, I already was just saying like, excuse me, guys. So, hey guys, hold up. Like when I was talking about with the kid, when the family was leaving their kid. And then when the family was leaving their like aunt with cerebral palsy, like,
jeez.
I'm not going to sit there and go, hey, to everybody.
Yeah, no, I'm not asking you to be the policeman.
But yes, the collective brain cells drop noticeably at Soldier, and it's Soldier more than any other venue.
Yeah. I mean, I had a guy leak pee out on the concourse next to me last year.
Yeah, it's...
I had two people on the end that didn't want to get up for me and Dominic when we got there. I had a guy start a fight with me. Like, I thought I was on the edge of getting into a fight with a guy just because I didn't want them to cut in line in front of us when Dominic wanted his orange soda.
Yeah, no, there's something about Soldier Field that just brings out... turns people into animals.
Yeah, except for the football team that plays there. Hey-o!
Let's end on a high note.
Yeah. Well, this was great, man. I think we solved a lot of America's problems today. Good job, Jones.
That's what we're about. One week at a time.
Wait till the Jones and Mike Sex Predator Rehabilitation Center opens.
It'll be there before the mosque.